The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Kawhi-less Clippers going down in history yesterday for all the wrong reasons. Dallas set an NBA record with a 50-point lead at the half over the Clippers. That is the largest in NBA history, period. Final score, 124-73. Here's PG-13 after the game.
It's not that big of a deal. Yeah, we got our butts kicked today. But, you know, it's one game. I think we'll just take what we need to take away from today and go to the next one. We wasn't ready today. We wasn't prepared, not from the plan, but just from us being ready to go. And that's on me. And so, you know, we'll be ready for the next game.
Kendrick Perkins here now joining Dominique for this debate. Now, PG said it was just one game, but it was a really, really bad game. Perk, what does this loss say about the Clippers?
Well, it says a lot. The Clippers are like that student that always used to bring an apple to school for the teacher and sit at the front of the class but could never pass the written test. And here's why I say this, all right? I understand, you know, in the NBA that you're going to lose games, right? You're going to lose games. But to be down 50 at the half, okay, that's one thing. To score 25 points and be down 50, that's one thing. But to not fight back is another thing. I kept watching the second half saying, okay, here go the Clippers. They're going to make a run. They're going to at least cut this to 30. And they didn't make a run. So that goes to show me two things. One, Kawhi just might be the best player in the NBA, because if they're going to lose by 50 with him being out, that goes to show me how valuable he really is to the Los Angeles Clippers. Two, that they don't have a leader. And I'm not talking about Ty Lue and the coaching staff. I'm talking about a leader, a vocal leader that's in the locker room, that's on the bench. Not a leader that's going to be talking all the tough guy talk, but it's going to be holding guys accountable and saying, hey, in this 5 minutes, we about to get stops and we go on an 8-0 run. The next 5 minutes, we about to go on another 6-0 run. Let's cut into this league. Let's play possession by possession. They don't have that. And I feel like the Clippers dropped the ball in the offseason by not picking up Rajon Rondo. That was the guy that they needed. They needed a guy like him, a floor general. I love what Pat Bev brings to the table, but he's not that guy. And so what it goes to show me is that the Clippers are the true definition of front runners, not because they lost the game, but because when things get tough and they get down big, they hang their heads, and it just almost seems like they give up and not make a push to at least get back in the game and make it a competitive game. And it's a damn shame.
Yeah, I mean, to be down 50 points at half, normally the other team lets off the gas in all sports. If you're down by that much, the other team lets off the gas, and you have some personal pride, and you fight back, and you end up losing by 20 or something, and then you still get blown out, but everyone's just trying to get out, get healthy. For it to go this bad, I think it is a little bit more concerning. But I agree with what Paul George said. I just wish he had said it. I think he's right. It's just one game. That's a reasonable way to take this. And there's plenty of explanations or excuses with Kawhi not playing. They had a short offseason. They have a new coaching staff. You're right about them bringing in certain people. I think Luke Kennard and Nicholas Batum may bring some value on the court, but you're right about the mentality off the court. That feels like that was the biggest concern for the Clippers last year in the bubble, was it was something mental, some sort of mental block, because it wasn't for a lack of talent that they weren't able to get past, I guess it was Denver in the bubble. It was because when they got down, they didn't bounce back. So I think that it's concerning to see that it's repeating itself, but they're normally 82 games in the season. They're 72 this year. This is just one. I don't think that we can indict the whole team off of one game. The only problem is it's also a continuation off of what we saw from them last year, where they struggled. Absolutely. Because they couldn't quite get their mindset right, and they couldn't quite turn the corner when they needed to. And I thought, I disagree with you, though, on the Pat Bev point, is I think Pat Beverly is that guy who normally won't allow you to do that. He is that guy who has that pride and that intensity that'll get guys locked in this moment. But because we know Kawhi is not it, and we know Paul George is not it.
Well, first of all, Dominic, let me tell you why I disagree to that point. It's because although Pat Bev is a rah-rah type guy, his play still don't shows up and back it up. Not only if you're going to be a rah-rah type guy and a guy that try to hold people accountable, your play has to back it up. We all know Rondo is a guy that not only is he going to, you know, bring guys together and hold guys accountable, but he's also going to elevate his game. It's a reason that you call him playoff Rondo. And to your point is, it's about their mental toughness. What's going to happen in the playoffs again? What if you get down 20? Are you going to have these mental laps again where you can't fight back? This is a problem. And like I said, it's a long season. Teams are going to lose games. The Lakers are going to lose. The Nets lost last night. But it ain't what you do. It's how you do it. And it's the fashion that they lost. You was down 50, and then you end up losing by 51. So that means in the second half, you didn't come out with the right mindset to say, you know what, we about to go out swinging. We not going to go out like this. I would have accepted it more if they would have went down and been maybe lost by 30 or 25. But it just goes to show that if you get out early on the Los Angeles Clippers, that you got them right where you want it. And then on top of that, the beef, all the animosity that they had with the Dallas Mavericks throughout their series, you would think that they will come out and fight back, not just get punched in the mouth and say, you know what, it's over, I'm going to tap out. Nah, you got to throw a couple jabs and a couple uppercuts and show you that, hey, I'm ready to swing and ready to battle, but that's where the leadership come in. And Kawhi might be the best player in the league if he mean that much.
My pushback would normally be in this situation that it's just a regular season game, but the problem is they tried to be a hit-the-switch team last year, and they could never hit that switch. So to me, it sounds like, and I don't have the basketball expertise to go out there and say this, but it sounds like what you're saying is they can't win a championship with a team as it's currently constructed, because if they weren't mentally tough last year, they didn't bring in the guys to make them any mentally tougher, unless you think Ty Lue over the course of the season is going to turn them into some sort of tough guys or mentally strong guys that they weren't at the beginning of the season. It sounds like without some sort of trade or without somebody turning into somebody they can't be, they aren't a real title contender if they aren't any tougher mentally than they were last year.
And I'm with that, and I agree, and I actually believe that. I know you probably was watching a lot of football yesterday because they had football games on, but I actually watched I actually watched the game yesterday. And Ty Lue is a coach that he never shows emotions during the game. He show all his emotions at practice and in film session. And I seen him up and down that sideline trying to get that team going. He's doing his part, but you got to have that on the court. And like Paul George, what you mean we wasn't ready? Like, okay, the first half, y'all got punched in the mouth. Second half, you got to come back and be ready at some standpoint. Yeah. Not to get smoked by 50.
I just wish he didn't say it, because I think in that situation, and it's true across all sports, that intensity matters. I just wish he would have said, like, he didn't say that it's just one game. I wish he would have said, we lost, we got our butts kicked, it's unacceptable, we're going to address that. Like, that's it's a small thing, but to me it shows a different level of accountability than saying, it happens, it's just one game. He's right about it, but I hate to hear that from the leaders on the team in that type of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no room for them to make excuses after what we saw at the end of this past season. But guys, according to Elias, that 50-point halftime lead by the Mavericks just set records. The prior mark for that halftime lead was when the Warriors had a 47-point lead at halftime over the Kings, and that was in November of 1991.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And gentlemen, too bad we already said goodbye to Dan, because the Eagles will fly no more after losing to an early lead against the Cowboys yesterday, eventually going down 37-17 in an elimination game for Philly. Jalen Hurts throwing for over 300 yards, but he also racked up 3 turnovers. Now, Ryan Clark is back here with us, and Dom, I want to know, even after having those several hiccups yesterday, is Jalen Hurts the starting quarterback for Philly moving forward, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that Jalen Hurts is going to be like the franchise quarterback, that he's going to earn some long-term deal at some point, because I think it's too early to tell all that. But what it's not too early to tell is he's the best quarterback they have in the building, and they're not going to be in position, nor should they be considering going after a new quarterback in the draft. And maybe there's something out there in free agency, but I feel like we're pretty sure that Carson Wentz is not the answer. So I'm not sure who else they're going to put at quarterback to start next season. Maybe Jalen Hurts loses it at some point throughout next season. But everything he's shown, considering that he was a rookie who was not planning to get much play time, they dropped him in this situation. And the offense has been, by most statistical measures and by our own eye test, the offense and the defense, frankly, the team in general, feels like it's been better. It's been in a better place. It's been moving in a better direction, despite the fact that they lost the last two games. This seems like a respectable team, which they weren't before. And we watched all the reasons why people made excuses for Carson Wentz, and I feel bad saying their excuses. They were good reasons, like the depletion of the offensive line and the playmakers and the play calling. Like, there are a lot of things wrong with that Eagles team outside of Carson Wentz. But all those things seem to disappear when Jalen Hurts came in, so I'm not sure how you could argue that this team could go back to Carson Wentz, and there is no other easy answer out there. So it feels like it's Jalen Hurts's, or at least it should be. Maybe it won't be, but it should be Jalen Hurts's job to lose next season.
See, Dom, toward the end, you started to get it. See, at first, you were talking as Dominique Morris-Chestnut Foxworth, right? That's who you started out as. You were like, I'm going to talk for me, right? I came on with my cool First Take outfit, and I feel real good about the comparisons that have been made to my looks. And so we talk about what I think, but that ain't what Doug Peterson has to think, right? That's not what the Philadelphia Eagles organization has to think. And you got to remember, what happens is you have these biases, right? Whether they're positive or negative, right? Like, there was the bias of watching Carson Wentz in 2017, seeing Carson Wentz take backups and practice squad players to the playoffs last year, that led to him being able to stink it up for so long this season, right? Because he had deposited some things in your emotional bank account that made you remember how good he was. And then there were some negative biases, right? The same biases that people like Rex Ryan and you even said on TV when you were like, we don't know if Jalen Hurts has the skill set to be a great starting quarterback, right? You just said, we don't really know if he's earned the franchise yet. And so when you have these questions and then you see that second half, you see the Dallas Cowboys deploy a little defense that has a spy on Jalen Hurts, the 3 late turnovers, you might go, oh, shoot, maybe we're not sure. Maybe he's not our guy. And I mean, we gave the other guy $110 million. At least we've seen him play like an MVP. So I don't know if Jalen Hurts has earned it. Maybe if they're 3-0 or 2-1 with him, you say that he's earned it. And yes, to the eye test, they look better. Yes, statistically as an offense, they are better. He has produced. but they're still 1-2. And if you're going to say to yourself, you know what? We just stink, period. Whether Jalen's the quarterback, Carson's the quarterback, I don't know if that necessarily means he's earned the trust of the organization to be the quarterback going forward. And you know, don't be coy, don't be fooled. You know Jalen Hurts got to earn it, right? Like in New Orleans, we don't put the adjective or the adverb in front of the word and say, you know what, he has to play extremely well. Nah, we be like, he got to play good to get it. You feel me? And that's where Jalen Hurts is right now. So having these little hiccups, not necessarily finishing two games, I think puts the Eagles in the place where they can talk themselves back into a quarterback competition or talk themselves back into Carson Wentz being the guy. And that's the part that I think it makes it a little murky.
I think you're right. You're right. If it's at all close. And I think whether you meant to or not, you probably made a really good point that's broader than sports, a general social commentary about us all having biases. And everything we do, we bring the biases to everything we think and say, discuss, all decisions we make, we bring biases. The problem is so few people are aware of the biases they bring. So they think that they've landed on some conclusion based on strictly facts. And I think that's the problem.
Right.
Is you need to understand that part of the reason why you feel the way you feel or you think the way you think is because the biases you have brought to the table. So you're probably right. I think we probably agree on this more than we disagree. If the question is, has Jalen Hurts won the job? Maybe not. Has he earned the job or earned the one spot? Absolutely. There's no reason not to. But there's so many factors that are leading into these biases, including the $100+ million that they promised to Carson Wentz. That's going to lead into the bias, including the way Carson Wentz looks. That's going to lead into the bias. He's the stereotypical 6'5 white guy play quarterback. That's going to lead into the bias. And Jalen Hurts is not that by any stretch. But I think you could point to other people out there like Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray as smaller guys who are athletic, who have made it work, to find some other bias to convince you that maybe Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy. But you need to understand the biases that you bring to the table. But the reason that I landed on Jalen Hurts winning the job is not because I'm oblivious to the fact that there may be biases in Carson Wentz's favor. It's because of Jason Kelce. That's why. Jason Kelce, the center, all-pro center on that team, gave a speech a couple weeks ago at a press conference that made it quite clear to me. He didn't put no names on it.
It's about winning.
But he made it clear that it's about winning, that it's going to be impossible to walk into that locker room as a coach, general manager, anybody. It's going to be impossible to put Carson Wentz back in that spot. Jalen Hurts won it because the team feels like it'll revolt if they don't give it to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, winning is the key priority for every team. And guys, in other NFC East quarterback-related news, Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington football team, just said this morning that next week in the regular season finale, week 17, Taylor Heinicke will be the starter, not Dwayne Haskins, that is, if Alex Smith is unable to play. So it has been a rough, rough week for Haskins.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yesterday, the Steelers put a stop to their three-game skid, overcoming a 17-point second-half deficit against the Colts to win 28-24, clinching the AFC North title for the first time since 2017 and their seventh under head coach Mike Tomlin. Ryan, you have been down on the Steelers, and understandably so, but what is your confidence level now in the team after what you saw from them yesterday?
I mean, Charlie, why'd you have to put it like that? Why couldn't I just be asked the questions without bringing up the fact that I've been down on
it? I like to preface things. To give some background information.
I know it could have been like, RC, how do you feel? Go. You know, I think, obviously, you know, expectations.
I said understandably so. I backed you up.
You know, I think, you know, expectations are obviously the largest leaders of disappointment. Right. When you have expectations and you think a team is a certain thing or you think someone's a certain thing and then they let you down, now you're disappointed. Well, I have been disappointed the last 3 weeks. And so now I was kind of at the point I got to with Birdman when he was rapping with Cash Money. You know, like I always expected Birdman's verse to ruin the song. Like you could go Wheezy first and then you could have Drake. But so what they started to do was put Birdman in the middle of both of them. So you wanted to listen to Wheezy first or Drake first, and then you wanted to listen to one of them at the end. So you just got through it. That's kind of where I am with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't expect this team to be able to win a playoff game. I'm be honest. I didn't expect this team
to be able to beat a playoff. Are you asking what happened to those boys?
I am. Right. Now, rubbing my head,
well done,
and the clips are there. Absolutely.
Try to throw in a reference
there. That, Charlie. And so now, you know, you see this team and you have a great second half and you protect Ben Roethlisberger. And now you actually start to push the ball down the field. But here comes my confusion. Who was that? Was that Randy Fichtner, the offensive coordinator? Did he change his plan? Did he now understand that you got to protect Ben Roethlisberger and we have to try to push the ball downfield instead of just kind of dink and dunk, hit the short pass, get yards after the catch? Or was that Ben Roethlisberger? Was that Ben saying, you know what, I'm running the offense now. They sped the pace up. They got out of the huddle quicker. They did some no huddle. They did some hurrying up to the line, and that helped this team. And then defensively, you saw what happens when you make Phillip Rivers play quarterback. He doesn't always quarterback the best he can. So I do feel better than I felt last week, where I felt like this team had no opportunity to beat a playoff caliber or playoff level team. But I'm not in the same place I was when I thought that they were the largest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, when I thought that Ben Roethlisberger could stand across the field for Patrick Mahomes and go toe-to-toe, or that this defense could get in Patrick Mahomes' face enough to cause him enough confusion to make him have enough problems where this team could win. And so where you are encouraged that they had a good second half, you don't feel any differently about their chances to win the Super Bowl. And when you play for Pittsburgh, that's the bottom line. And today, they haven't met that standard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're comparing everybody to Kansas City, you could say that about everybody. But I do feel a lot more confident for the Steelers because of what Ben was able to do in the second half. I know it's just one half, but it's showing a capability that I didn't know he still had. Like, he was awesome in passes for more than 10 yards down the field and very impressive in passes for more than 20 yards down the field. That's stuff that I thought was no longer in his game, and that's stuff you're going to need. And it was in a situation while you're down 17 points, I think, at one point, so the defense knows you're going to have to throw the ball, and he is completing those passes with confidence. It's something that I thought was out of their game. They're going to have to be able to do that, and no one's going to out-defense the Chiefs. Like, that's not how you're going to win. You're not going to win by shutting down the Chiefs. Even though we saw the Cardinals seem to do it recently, if your game plan is we're going to stop Patrick Mahomes, you're going to lose. Your game plan needs to be that we're going to score with them and try to slow them down and create some mistakes. And I think that the Steelers have enough personnel. If that second half wasn't just an aberration, maybe Ben was saving it. He's just been saving it all year. It's like, I'm not going to waste this arm in a regular season. I'm going to save it until I get my big moment, and they need to see it. And now they see it because it seemed like it's something that he could do. It just he hasn't done it yet.
I mean, you think back early on in the season, right? You go back to the Philadelphia game, kind of when we started to see Chase Claypool break out, and we thought all to ourselves, oh, my goodness, this might be the best rookie wide receiver that was drafted. We saw some of those things from Ben during that time, and then they kind of hit this lull probably after the Baltimore Ravens games where we didn't see that same type of offense. Right. And now when you lose a Bud Dupree, when you lose a Devin Bush on defense, obviously you get Vince Williams back. We got to see the second half, some pressure up front. You saw the turnover by Mike Hilton. All of those things were kind of reminiscent of how they were winning games early on this season. But even when they were doing that, there was always that question in your mind, what kind of happens when the bottom falls out of this team. You know, and we saw that against the Washington football team in the second half. We saw that against Buffalo, and we saw that against Cincinnati. I think they have to play all of their guys and truly try to win this game against the Cleveland Browns, even though they clinched the division, because it's important that they keep this thing rolling.
Right. I think to bring back to your New Orleans analogy, I think the game changed on them. And just like the game changed on Birdman. And I love New Orleans, and New Orleans has some great rappers. But at one point, let's be honest, at one point, what Birdman was putting out there was acceptable New Orleans rap lyric content. And then the game changed. Weezy and Outkast and other down south rappers came with some real lyrics. Then you had to step it up. So Ben's in the same situation. That short stuff ain't gonna work in the playoffs. The game has changed. People really spitting now. You can't just say exactly what you're going to do. We need some metaphors or something. Give me something.
I mean, we have made just as many rap references as we have sports references, I think, on the show so far. We've had West Coast,
that's
down
called a good
south.
Show, Charlie.
I'm waiting to see what's next. We still have a few more topics to cover. So, guys, keep your ears peeled for some more rap references. But, look, last night's Steelers come from behind victory. Not quite the same story for the Packers, because last night Aaron Rodgers showed us why Stephen A. calls him a bad man on Sunday Night Football, tossing four touchdowns in last night's 40-14 victory over the Titans. Dom, let's start with you here. What's your biggest takeaway from the Packers' win?
I think that they should be the favorites in the NFC. It's my biggest takeaway. I think that what Aaron Rodgers did yesterday was incredible, and also it feels like he's wrapped up the MVP trophy with Patrick Mahomes having having an uncharacteristically bad week, and then Aaron Rodgers going out there and cooking in the snow as if he is in the friendliest confines. Like, that's tough. Even though it seems like they're comfortable playing in those conditions, that's tough for anybody to move in. I don't care how long your cleats are or how your hand warmers work. It's tough to throw a ball in that situation. It's tough to get open in that situation. And what they did was impressive. And I'm not sure, even though their defense has some weaknesses, I'm not sure that anybody in the NFC is going to be able to come into Lambeau and beat them.
Yeah, I think my largest takeaway is that, like, sometimes you go up against a team that you need to beat, and you need to beat in a certain way. And that's what the Tennessee Titans presented to me for the Green Bay Packers. When you think about the Green Bay Packers the last 2 years, now they've won a ton of games, right? You were 13-3 last year, only three losses this year. But every time you think to them playing a team that could run the football, a team that could be a physical football team up front, that's when they lose, whether it's the San Francisco 49ers last year, the Indianapolis Colts this year. You even think about the Minnesota Vikings when Dalvin Cook came to town. So you had Derrick Henry standing across from you, a man that's run his way into some MVP conversation. It's definitely Offensive Player of the Year, and that team needed to stand up defensively, and they did it. And then you watched outside, whether it was Kevin King, Jaire Alexander, who's ascended into the top of the cornerback conversation, those dudes locked up. And so I don't care, you know, Dom talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the conversation being whenever you compare a team to the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they're all going to pale in comparison. But that's what it is, right? For the time when the Golden State Warriors were the Golden State Warriors before they got KD, it was, can you put a team together that's good enough to beat them? Well, that's who the Kansas City Chiefs are now. When you watch Green Bay play last night, you say, you know what? This team can't. This team has a quarterback that can play with them. This team has a defense who's now playing better football. And so you start to see those things, you get excited. When Aaron Rodgers, man, like I said earlier, when he runs the football, gets clipped, and he's looking at you with that side eye smiling, you start to know dude's in his bag. He's feeling comfortable. He's in such a different place from where he was in April when the Green Bay Packers drafted Jordan Love. See, those two fingers of scotch for Jordan Love was so he could calm down and not go in the building and choke somebody. Now the two fingers of scotch is because I know I really ain't got to do nothing until late next week because we balling like that. And for this defense to step up, hit Derrick Henry in the mouth, to turn over Ryan Tannehill twice, it's shown growth. It's shown that the one weakness on this team has now at least become good enough to have them in every football game, and now number 12 got to go be number 12. And you believe in that. You're confident in that. And so they proved something last night that I don't think they just had to prove to us, that they had to prove to themselves. And you got to be feeling good if you're Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I think the big thing that you said there is Alexander and King at the corners, and that secondary, you brought up Darnell Savage earlier, that secondary is really improved and playing quite well, and I think that matters. But it goes back to a point that I made earlier when we were talking about the Chiefs, is if your game plan is to go in and stop the offense, then you're in trouble. Or you need to have an offense that can score and put pressure on them, and they absolutely seem to have that. And you're right, Aaron Rodgers is playing so well that he has changed the way he uses scotch. Before, it was a stress reliever. That's a bad way to use scotch. Scotch is for celebrating. Now, it's a celebratory scotch. That's fine. I don't have no worries about you. If you won the division, you're going to the playoffs, you got home field advantage, and you have a little sip. But if you have a sip because you're sad, then we got concerns. Are you upset? Then we got concerns. This is headed in the wrong direction. But I think we all agree that the Packers, earlier in the season, I think I would have said that the AFC, whoever comes out of AFC, is going to be the Super Bowl champion. I'm not so sure about that.
I think
if the Packers make it to the championship, they are the only team, I think, on the NFC side that I feel confident can knock off the Chiefs or knock off whoever comes out of the AFC. I think if the Bills come out, then I think the Bills beat everyone except for the Packers. If the Chiefs come out, they beat everyone except for the Packers. I'm not saying the Packers will win, but I think it's going to be a game because Aaron Rodgers can score so much that it's going to put pressure on you to have to compete. And they have cover guys, which we know the secondary is finally getting their due because they make the game so hard for us. The most important thing, I think, on a defense, and most good defenses recognize this and are built this way, is to have good to great, reliable secondary play. You can kind of fudge around the edges on the rest of those positions and the things that you need to compete. But if you can't cover in the back end, you can't play man coverage on important down situations, you can't blitz every now and then because you can trust your guys in the back, you can't play defense, you can't win in this league at this point.
I have a question. After last night, we saw Aaron Rodgers really go off four touchdowns, and now as a result, he is in the lead in the MVP race over Pat Mahomes. Do you each think that Aaron Rodgers is more deserving to win MVP at this point after what you saw yesterday?
I'll take this for sure.
Go ahead,
I do. Yeah, I take it, Dom. I for sure do because I was a guy who was kind of like, really, really far against this is the best we've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. And maybe I'm scarred. Maybe it was because I played him, you know, when he was the Super Bowl MVP. And obviously the next year he wins the MVP. And I felt like he was playing at a level that made me think to myself that he's better than Peyton Manning, that he's better than Drew Brees, that he's better than Tom Brady. And at that time he was, just as an individual player, as watching him play the position, he was the best I had ever seen. And then you watch this year, and some of those same athletic things and some of those same throws he's making, not as often, but he just seems more comfortable. And he actually seems to be having fun. You know, it was almost like when you used to watch Aaron Rodgers move and Aaron Rodgers play, it was to spite who he was playing against. Now it's to enjoy who he's playing with. It's the belief he has in Devontae Adams. It's knowing that no matter if you put Malcolm Butler over there, no matter if you slide a safety over there, if you give him space, I can get him the ball. If you're going to play him man-to-man, he can run a route and get open. Knowing that I can go to A.J. Dillon now or Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams if he's playing. Right now, when Patrick Mahomes is usually playing against himself, right? He doesn't win the MVP or we question him winning the MVP if he has a bad week. That's not what's happening right now. What's happening right now is Aaron Rodgers is playing so dang good. He has taken the trophy. Remember, it was Russell Wilson early, right? Mr. Unlimited, Mr. Let Russ cook, right? But he was cooking in like the Iron Chef kitchen or one of those kitchens where if you lose something, you die, right? So he's out. And then Josh Allen was having a great game. So we were trying to give it to all these different people, and Aaron just kept playing. Aaron just kept chugging along. And right now, he's taken sole ownership of the MVP. And to me, put himself in top five conversations at the position ever, even with only one Super Bowl championship. What we've seen this year is a resurgence. It's an opportunity to see that careers can have different phases. Mm-hmm. And the second phase of Aaron Rodgers' career may be the best.
Yeah, I think that's all well and good, and I would not be mad if Aaron Rodgers won the MVP. 3 weeks ago, I said he should be the MVP, and then the following week, I said back to Patrick Mahomes, and now we're going to swing. I'm probably going to swing back to Aaron Rodgers. You know what that tells me?
Well, you like Dan Orlowski.
And it feels – I know. I mean, I can't tell because they're so close. Like, it's hard to differentiate. They're both so great. They're both incredibly valuable to their teams. Both of their teams become non-competitors when you take them off. Like, I agree with that. I understand that. But to make an argument for Patrick Mahomes, you have to make an argument against Aaron Rodgers, which seems impossible to do. But the best you can say at this point is recency bias, because it's not like Aaron Rodgers hasn't had bad games. He's had a 12 QBR against the Bucs early in the season. Like, Aaron Rodgers has had bad games. Aaron Rodgers had bad games. But the problem is, right now, when people are getting close to their voting, Patrick Mahomes had a bad game against a bad team. And Aaron Rodgers went nuts against a team that we think is a playoff contender. So I think that in this moment, you have to understand that even though it's somewhat recency bias, like, that's the way the game is played. I'm not going to be mad if Patrick Mahomes wins it, but I feel like Aaron Rodgers, unless something crazy happens in this final week, Aaron Rodgers has done what he needed to do at the right time to get the trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think something that can be said about Aaron Rodgers, he really does elevate those around him, and I think in a sense he is doing more with less than what Pat Mahomes does. Mahomes has so many weapons. Not that Rodgers doesn't have any, but he does have less, and it seems like he's really helping to take his weapons to a new level. But, guys, you know we have to talk about
Patrick don't have the O-line that he has.
This is true. This is true. You know we have to talk about the Jets. They got their second win of the season yesterday. Two in a row, in fact. Good news. Well, they did this, though. There is a little bit of bad news on the same token. You know, beating the Browns also meant that they helped Jacksonville to secure the first pick in the 2021 draft. So, in effect, saying goodbye to Trevor Lawrence for the Jets. Now, Ryan, how should Jets feel right now after knowing that they have lost this star quarterback potentially?
If you are a Jets player, you don't give a dang. You absolutely do not care. Like, straight up, you walk around like Lonzo walked around on training day. You just don't care. Like, you're going to do whatever you want because you have to win football games. It is not your job to set the Jets organization up to get the pick that they want. It's your job to work to keep your job. Like, you are an independent contractor. Right. When they look at this team, they're not going to look at this team as the whole and say, OK, we're going to get rid of the entire defense and get rid of the entire offense for his players, because that's not how it works. Right. Every coach on that team is still coaching because they know they're going to have to put out applications and interview and give resumes to different organizations to try to get work next year. And that's what you're playing for. If you're this team, you're playing to show the next person that comes in and turns on the film that, man, you know what? Bryce Hall is still playing football. Marcus May is still playing his butt off. Quinnen Williams is still playing tough. That's why this team is going out on the field. Sam Darnold is pretty much playing to say, okay, I can be your quarterback next year and into the future, the New York Jets. So if you're a New York Jet player or coach, you are doing exactly what you're paid to do. Now, if you're the organization and you're the owner and you're the fans, you might be a little salty. You might feel like you have bought into Trevor Lawrence being the golden boy, Trevor Lawrence basically looking like every depiction we've seen of Jesus on all of these Hollywood movies, and that he's going to be the savior. But you don't know. What you should be appreciating is you have 53 men on this roster right now that'll fight. You have 53 men that have lost their defense, the half that's lost their defensive coordinator, that's been mired in not only mediocrity, they're not even in below average football for a year, and they still want to try to win games. And that's what's important. Mm-hmm. That's what they should be doing.
So kind of goes along the lines of what J.J. Watt had to say yesterday after their game.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, the fact that you should go out there, play your hardest. You're making a lot of money. Exactly.
Yeah. I think, first of all, if the depiction of Jesus in your church looks like Trevor Lawrence, then you need to come to my church. It's a whole different depiction in my church. But that aside,
and then like the one,
it's probably
the
a little
one
bit
that
more
JJ
accurate.
Drew on Good Times.
But anyway, off of the training day reference, I think that your point is right. All of the players out there next year, they're gonna be playing football on Pelican Bay. They don't care what quarterback comes into that team. They don't care about your draft status. They don't care about none of that. So I think that you ask, how should the Jets feel about it? I think the Jets should feel great about it. How do the Jets fans feel about it? I don't care. It doesn't matter. I do think that the more I thought about it today, that Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville might be an okay situation, but what we've seen out of the Jets, If I were Trevor Lawrence, it might feel better to go to New York, because New York, the greatest thing about playing in New York is it comes with a double-edged sword. Is if you do well, we'll make everybody think you're better than you are, like we did with Jeremy Lin. If you do poorly, we're going to make everybody think that you are worse than you are, like we do with the Jets. But you see what's happening in New York right now? It seems like they have a lot of good talent. And Trevor Lawrence had the opportunity to walk in there, be dropped in New York City, and take a team that was going to be winless or maybe one win and take them to 5 or 6, maybe 7 wins. And we'd have been talking about Trevor Lawrence like he was Jesus, because that is New York City. We care so much more about that city. We care so much more about the teams in that city. It would have been fantastic if they were able to bring in the right coach. So he's going to end up probably down in Jacksonville, and they have some good pieces down there, and they're probably going to be getting a new coach too. So maybe he can do the same thing. But winning in Jacksonville, it ain't like winning in New York. Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame because he won a Super Bowl for the New York Jets. It ain't because he was killing people week in and week out. As everybody knows, his career stats aren't all that impressive. But you know what? He put on a mink coat in New York City. He promised you they was going to knock off the Colts, and they did it. They should put the mink in the Hall of Fame. So that's a missed opportunity for Trevor Lawrence potentially. But I think the Jets fans, like, you should feel good about the fact that you got some people on that team and in that building that have some damn personal pride. Like, I respect that. I would be proud of that. I understand you missed out on this quarterback, but I'd be proud that my guys didn't go up there and fold up shop. It's so easy to be like, I'm done. We stink.
No, I'll say this. I think you tweeted Cat Williams yesterday.
Friday After Next, huh?
Adam Gase deserves some credit, and I think we should repeat that. Adam Gase definitely deserves credit. When he spoke after the Rams game, he said, "My job and what I'm paid to do is to win football games." And Coach Tomlin would tell me all the time and tell our team all the time that we don't get paid to practice. We don't get paid to try. The reason you get paid in the NFL is to win. And what normally happens, because that's the reason you get paid, when you aren't doing that, you don't get paid no more. And so if you're the New York Jets, you have to understand that. And they seem to finish the season with that mindset. Now, if you're Trevor Lawrence, going to Jacksonville won't be bad. We've seen quarterbacks and teams succeed there. Mark Brunell had a team that was successful there. I mean, David Garrard for a little bit of time. Byron Leftwich for a spell. Obviously, the Blake Bortles?
I wouldn't
necessarily call him led. The Blake Bortles misled Jacksonville Jaguars. And so for him, it's not a bad thing to go anywhere. But make no mistake about it. If you go to New York and he plays in New York with those flowing locks and suited and booted up, and he gets an opportunity to bring that type of personality to that position, to that team, it's a different level of stardom that he would have achieved. And so I don't think this is the Jets fans losing. This is probably Trevor Lawrence losing.
Yeah, definitely interesting to know what is going on inside Trevor Lawrence's head right now, because a lot has changed just in the past couple days for him, you know, thinking maybe he was going to New York to now assuming he's probably going to Jacksonville. So it'll be interesting to hear his thoughts when he should decide to share those. All right, guys, we have one more topic to cover here, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Yesterday, they eked out a 17-14 win over the Falcons, clinching the overall one seed in the AFC. Those 17 points, the fewest points the Chiefs have scored with Mahomes under center. So, Ryan, what is the biggest threat to a Chiefs Super Bowl win?
Obviously, I think you look at the Buffalo Bills, right? We talked about it earlier, kind of a team that's built to beat them or compete with them. And also the Green Bay Packers. You know, you look at that team and you say, okay, if they come out of the NFC, they have a chance. You know, the New Orleans Saints obviously has the defense that could give them trouble, but you never really know what you're getting with Drew Brees down the stretch right now with the injuries. But it's kind of funny when you talked about the Kansas City Chiefs eking out a win against the Atlanta Falcons. I thought about something I saw on social media yesterday where Dwayne Wade was playing his son in basketball. And his son ended up getting real mad because at the end, D. Wade just kept posting him up. And so I look at it like the game was close at first because, you know, you're playing your son and it's heated. And when your son's playing the daddy, he plays really, really hard, right? Like, he really wants to beat him. He's following them and he's doing all this. That's what happens when people play the Kansas City Chiefs. The Atlanta Falcons, right? You know, we had a bad season. We've lost our coach. This is a game where we can redeem ourselves. This is a game where we can show the world that we are worth something. If I'm Matt Ryan, I can prove to you that I deserve to be the quarterback of this franchise going forward. Raheem Morris, I deserve an opportunity, if not to coach this team, another team. Like, that's what you get when you play the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Kansas City Chiefs kind of come out like the dad, right? They kind of come out like D-Wade. Mm-hmm. You know, they shoot a couple of jumpers. They lay off of you a little bit, let you get some open shots. And then when the game gets tight, that's when Patrick Mahomes put on a – that's when Patrick Mahomes come out with his dad bod, right? He come out with his dad bod and he posts you up and he shoot layups and he does all the things that you can't stop. That's kind of what we see with this team. They get a little bored and then they find ways to win. Now, I don't suggest that people start with the "I'm going to turn it on when I want to" method. But we've seen Kansas City do it. When Kansas City needs to score in the 30s against the Carolina Panthers, they do it. When you need to score 30 in New Orleans, you find a way to do that. When you got to eke out a win and you need a play against the Denver Broncos, Tyrann Mathieu makes the interception. We've seen this team over and over again do whatever it takes to win football games. And if it wasn't for Dee Ford lining up offsides in the AFC Championship, we probably see them in two Super Bowls in a row. And so, yes, it's the Buffalo Bills. Yes, it's the Green Bay Packers. But in the end, it's the dang Kansas City Chiefs. If the Kansas City Chiefs are right, if the Kansas City Chiefs play their best ball, nobody in the world can beat them.
Yeah, I think you're right. So the Bills are playing better defense. They can score. It seems like they can score with anybody with the receivers that they have and the way that Josh Allen's been playing recently. I think the Ravens, another team that seems to be coming on at the right time. But you said it right, and we talked about earlier how the Packers, it does seem like they can score with them and they have the secondary to be able to give them a little bit of trouble or at least match up with all those phenomenal weapons. But you said it right. The Chiefs are the Chiefs' biggest threat. Like, if they don't play well, that's a problem. But you're right. You think about hitting the switch, and we don't like teams like that. We talked about earlier in the show with Kendrick Perkins how
the
Clippers thought last year they could just hit the switch. Like, you can't be that. But it seems like they are. And it's not like they're choosing to hit the switch, but when's the last time you've seen them not show up for a big game? The one loss they had this year was against Vegas. I almost said Oakland.
The Raiders.
I caught myself. Was against Vegas.
Yeah, I said it before.
And it was like they didn't necessarily, you can understand that they didn't come into that game intense. They had to play the Ravens. They showed up. Wally mopped them. All the games of the playoff last year, second half, showed up and embarrassed those teams. And then you brought it up. When's the last time Patrick Mahomes has not showed up in a big moment? It's crazy because the answer is never. You ain't never seen him not show up in a big moment.
Right.
You go back to that playoff game that they lost. Patrick Mahomes was cold blooded
in the second half.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. And we was like, oh, second half, Bill Belichick gonna come out with some adjustments. I don't care. It don't matter nothing about that. Bill Belichick's adjustment. Patrick Mahomes was cold and they lost because the guy jumped offside. So Patrick Mahomes is a guy who we've never seen not show up in those big moments. So if he does turn into a guy that doesn't show up, then maybe they lose. Otherwise, it's their Super Bowl.
All right. Yeah, Chiefs doing big things. Probably will continue to do big things. All right, guys, what a show that was. We had so many references, I can't even keep track. Rap references, movie references. Hey, even some sports references. What do you know? It was First Take. See y'all later. Thanks for tuning in.